Okay, Chevra, it's a pleasure to spend some time with all of you. And really, I want to take my hat off to all of you. I hear that Kenayin Ahara, the Olam, has been steiging, each one of you, throughout this period. And it's really, you are the Hevel PM that's keeping the world going in these very strange corona times. We know that the Torah that we received at Har Sinai actually ends this week in Parshas Matos and Parshas Maaseh at the end of Bamidbar. And the reality is that the Torah that we received ends at the end of Parshas Maaseh, and then Sefer Dvarim is said by Moshe Rabbeinu in the last 5 weeks of his life. From Rosh Chodesh Shvat on that 40th year in the Midbar until Zayin Adar, when Moshe Rabbeinu leaves this world, that's when he says the entire Sefer Dvarim. The Vilna Gaon explains to us at the beginning of Dvarim that in reality, Sefer Dvarim is then elevated to the level of the first four books, the first four Svarim, and it too becomes part of the Torah HaKadosha. But really, the Torah that we received, Mipi HaGvura, ended at the end of Parshas Maaseh. And we all know, and there's a remez to it even every day in the Shema, that when we say, V'dibarta bam, that it's saying that you should teach these matters to your children, V'dibarta bam, b'shivtecha b'vesech, b'leftecha v'derech, these matters of emun and bitochen should be with you at each moment of your lives. But bam, on a deeper level, tells us, what are we supposed to be teaching? What are we supposed to be living by? Bam, the bay stands for Bereishis, Torah Shebichsav, and the mem stands for Me'im Asai, the first word of Torah Shebal Peh. But the Svarim tell us that the bam also refers to the mem beis masos, the 42 stops of the Jewish people when they left Yitzias Mitzrayim until they were going to Eretz Yisrael. And when we're saying V'dibarta bam, we're saying that we too, every human being, in fact, is brought down in different Svarim, that just like Klal Yisrael had 42 steps of their national journey, so too the individual has 42 steps of his life journey. From the moment he comes into this world until Be'ezus Hashem, we go to Olam Haba, which is Eretz Yisrael. And we are to have these messages with us at each stage of our journey as well. But there's something very interesting that I'd like to focus on. And that is that this past week in Parshas Pinchas, we were introduced to the story of the Bnei Tzlafcha. In fact, we're all aware that twice in Sefer Bamidbar do we have the only two realities in the Torah where a mitzvah or a halachic reality is initiated by man. A few weeks ago in Parshas Baaloischa, we read about the story of Pesach Sheni. And this past week in Parshas Pinchas, when we read about the five Bnei Tzlafchad, whose father didn't have a son to inherit the land, they went and they petitioned Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu petitions from them unto the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in fact the halacha changes. And yet if you turn to the very end of Parshas Maaseh, it's fascinating to note that the Torah HaKadosha at the very end of the Torah that we received at Sinai, again tells us another aspect of the story of the Bnei Tzlafchad. We just learned it this week in Parshas Pinchas, and two parshias later, the story of the Bnei Tzlafchad is repeated. Yes, it teaches us another aspect, that the tribe of Manasseh was concerned that if they would marry out, they would lose part of their nachla. But the reality is the story is repeated, and that's really the way until the final pasuk that Sefer Bamidbar ends. We know that we have a concept of Hakol Heilech Achar Gmar. Everything goes according to the finish. So I believe, friends, that there must be something incredibly profound in the Maist of the Bnei Tzlafchad, that the Torah HaKadosha ends Sefer Bamidbar, the end of the Torah, with the story of Bnei Tzlafchad. And there are many different approaches that one can take to this. On one hand, one can look at it on a very simple level. and say that B'nai Slavchot teaches us the importance, how every single person has to have their own chelik in Torah. You, Menachem Gans, you, Yonatan Olshan, you, Josh Appel, you, Yehuda Furman, you, Hakoba Basan, you, Benjamin Weinstein, your chelik in Torah is different than anyone else's chelik in Torah. And the B'nai Slavchot, and we always read Parshas Maaseh and Parshas Dvarim during this time of the year, when we're Bein HaMitzarim, when Chazal tell us that one of the reasons, one of the principal reasons that the Torah was, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was Al Masha Azvas Torosi, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Hei Amud Aleph tells us, that they didn't make brachas on the Torah. Which means, on a simple level, the Torah was studied, but Torah wasn't seen as transformational. It wasn't seen as that which enables you to build a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. They say, b'shem the Baal Shem Tov, that when a person davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the chance to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you learn Torah, you have the chance to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But each one of us, when we say we're going to be la'asek b'divrei Torah, it means that we have to make Torah our own. And yes, Menachem Gans's Torah is different than anyone else's Torah. And I believe that the reason that the Torah HaKadosh ends by Midbar, by telling us the story of B'nai Slavchad, is to remind us that each one of us has to have our own chelik in Torah. I was looking at those Naim LaTorah of Zalman Sorotskin this past week with one of my sons, and I came across a beautiful insight of Reb Zalman Sorotskin into the psukim about the nice Slavchad in Parshas Pinchas. Here on the pasuk and Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Hei, when eventually Moshe Rabbeinu takes the kasha of the B'nai Slavchad in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the pasuk says, "Vayikrav Moshe es mishpatam lifnei Hashem." And the Reb Zalman Sorotskin asks the Znaim LaTorah Zechein Livracha a very simple question, and he says, "Lama loydan ba'atzma es mishpatam?" At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Pesek Hador. They weren't asking a spiritual matter like Pesach Sheni that you had to create some type of new spiritual mitzvahs. They're asking a halachic question. And the halachic question was about Yerushas Aretz. How can our father not have a nachla in Eretz Yisrael just because he doesn't have sons? And Reb Zalman Sorotskin says, why couldn't Moshe answer the question? And he answers very simply, he says, Mipnei Sha'amru, because when they described their father to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, Lama yigara shem avinu mitaych mishpachtai, ki ein lanu achuza b'taych achay avinu. And then they said, in their description of their father, let me just go back one pasuk, it says, Avinu meis b'midbar v'hu loy hayo b'techa eida ha'na'adim al Hashem ba'adas koirach. They said, our father died in the midbar, but he wasn't part of that group that was involved in any of the rebellions or the rebellion of Koirach. And says Reb Zalman Sorotskin, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't paskin? Because the minute Moshe Rabbeinu heard that he wasn't part of Adas Koirach, he was became Nageya B'davar, he became biased. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to recuse himself and take himself out of the psak. So then Reb Zalman Sorotskin asks another question. And he says, but wait a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Shivim Zakenim. He had the Bezdin. Why couldn't he have gone and asked the Shivim Zakenim? He says, Reb Zalman Sorotskin, "Aval lama loy maser es hadavar l'shoyftei Yisrael ba'os ha'maimed." And says Reb Zalman Sorotskin, a beautiful einfall, incredible sensitivity and insight. And he says, Mipnei Shahifa Schamesha Chayois Yesoimois Shafila Tsaira Shabam Lahaisa Pchusam Mimam Shana Vain Besulois Afila Ach Ein Lahem. He says, and imagine the appearance of these five girls, five older girls, that he says, the youngest of them wasn't less than 40 years old, and none of them had been married, and none of them had a brother who would assist them. He says, how can you expect the Shoftei Yisrael to not have Rachmanis on them and to come to a correct halachic decision? But others say, in answering Rav Zalman Sartzkin's question, how could they have even made the correct pshat? Because chas v'shalom, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu send them to the Shoftei Yisrael, to the Shivim Zakenim? Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want them, chas v'shalom, to be embarrassed. Which is telling us that the whole mice of Neislafchad, Moshe Rabbeinu has to recuse himself because he's afraid of being biased. And the Shoftei Yisrael, they're afraid, chas v'shalom, we should embarrass these girls. And maybe the Torah ends with the mice of Neislafchad. Because at the end of the day, like the Vilna Gaon says at the beginning of Evan Shlema, his famous Sefer HaMusar, after all, this is supposed to be a Sichas Musar. The whole point of the Torah is to help you be metakin your midas. The whole point of the Torah is to help us refine our character. And this is a unique time of year, friends, where there's an opportunity to be metakin your midas. We know that the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed because of sinas chinam, kol dor shelo nivna Beis HaMikdash b'yamav kilo nechrav b'yamav. And this is the time where we can rebuild that Beis HaMikdash, not only by making sure that we make brachas on our Torah and making our Torah our own. And of course, many of you know the famous vort of the Bnei Yisachar, where the Bnei Yisachar, Din of Erav, Zchus Hayagon Aleinu, says that we know that in the 21 days of the Bein HaMetzarim, 21 times 24 is 528. There are 528 hours in the Bein HaMetzarim. 528 is Begematria Mafteach. But 528 is also the amount of prakim in Shas. Because the more Torah you learn now, the more you can rebuild that Beis HaMikdash. He also tells us that the 21 days of Bein HaMetzarim are connected to 21 days from Rosh Hashanah until the end of Sukkot. So there's an opportunity to attack in those 21 days during these 21 days. And then Be'ezus Hashem, like the Navi says, these days will turn miyogdin l'simcha, me'afeila l'argadol, they'll turn into one long Yom Tov. But there's also the Nekuda, that these are days in which we have to become more sensitive to the feelings of others. Now let me tell you, friends, this world of Corona has shown us more than anything else. Like Aaron HaKohen, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that if you want to bring people to closer to Torah, that there's only one equation of how to do it, and that is Oyev Esabrius Umekavin La Torah. You have to love other people, Avas Chinam. And the Avas Chinam, in a day, in an age where you have to give people a hello with an elbow, and you have to social distance or speak to them through a screen, is really just about reaching out and speaking to them and telling them how much you care. Some of you may have heard this incredible story that took place Pesach time. But this is the type of sensitivity that Moshe Rabbeinu had. He didn't want to be biased, and the type of sensitivity of the Shivim Zakenim, that they didn't want to embarrass these five girls. It's a type of sensitivity that we have to have. I don't know if you heard the story that there's a family in Lakewood that lives in an apartment complex. And there's an older woman an almana living next door to them. And they both live on the ground floor when they have an apartment or condo, whatever it is, the story goes, with a little garden. And because of the social distancing and quarantine and bidud, this woman, who just recently, this past year, lost her husband, was for the first time in her life going to be spending the Seder alone. And this young family with two kids that live next door to her realized that Mrs., let's just call her Mrs. Goldberg, was going to be alone for the first time. And they decided, they came up with a chap. They said, Mrs. Goldberg, if you sit outside in your little patio, even though there's a wall between your patio and our patio and you can't necessarily see us, it's quiet here at night and we'll sit on our patio and we'll do the entire Seder. And you, we'll sit on the other side of the wall and you'll listen and you can chime in and participate with us. At the end of the Seder, Mrs. Goldberg, in tears, tells this young couple and their two kids, she says, this was one of the most special Siddurim of my life. But she says, you know what was so strange, but so heartwarming, was the fact that every single nigun that you sang were the exact same nigunim that my husband, Olav HaShalom, and my family has sung for decades. And they just chimed in, well, what hashgacha? And she couldn't get over it. Unbeknownst to her, this young couple realized that Mrs. Goldberg was going to be alone. And so they reached out to her family before Pesach. And they said, can you send us a tape of all of your father's nigunim? Because we're going to abandon our nigunim this year for the Goldberg family nigunim. Because we want to make sure that your mother, however difficult it is for her to be bibidud in quarantine, we want to make sure that your mother is going to enjoy the Seder. We recognize how tough it will be for her. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael. That's the type of sensitivity. And perhaps that's another way that we can look at the mice of the B'nai Slavchad. That again, the Torah tells us about the mice of B'nai Slavchad and ends with the mice of B'nai Slavchad. Because at the end of the day, the purpose of the Torah is to make us into more sympathetic, empathetic, refined individuals with midos trumiyos, because that's the purpose of our existence. I think we all know that it's brought down in many of the Halig Yisvarim that this is a time period called Bein HaMetzarim, and the generally three Shabbosos during the Bein HaMetzarim, and these three Haftayos of the Shleish of the Paranusa. But Chazal tell us that one of the ways to be metaken the Bein HaMetzarim is putting more emphasis into Shmirah Shabbos, which is a Nachla. We just had it in the Daf Yomi last week. As the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that Shabbos is a Nachla Bli Metzarim. It's a Nachla without any restraints. Now imagine if we can take the Torah, our own individual Torah, make it part of our Shabbos, and take the Avas Chinam and make it part of our Shabbosim during these 3 weeks. If we can take that sensitivity and make it more part of our lives in our interactions with our family, when we're all at home alone with our own mishpachas, or whoever we're with, trust me, I've also been at home with my family. And there are opportunities to not just respond to people's needs, but at this point, you should be so in sync with the needs of your family that you can anticipate their needs. Let's use these 3 weeks wisely. Let's turn these 528 hours into a mafteach Let's make the Torah our own, like the Torah ends at Mamidbar with Bnei Slavkad. There should be a Maisa of the Torah of Elior Holzer and Daniel Rosenthal and Benjamin Weinstein and Ben Wallach and Ari Englander and Andrew Aberman and Menachem Ganz and Yair Kaplan and Yonatan Olshin and Yehuda Feynman and Jonathan Haller and Jonathan Crane, whatever other names I can't see more on my screen. I'm not picking on anyone. Josh Appel just showed up. Josh Beer, Judah Graber, whoever you are. We all have to have our own Torah. But it has to be a Torah Schesed. The Torah not only of our own Chidushim, but our own Chidushim in sensitivity and in empathy. And then, Be'ezus Hashem, we can successfully turn these days Miyogayim L'Simcha Me'afeila L'Argadol. I wish you all a wonderful week, a wonderful Shabbos, and may we meet soon in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, V'yas Goyel B'mehira V'yameinu.